Hey everybody, it is Tom Dotan with the Informations 411 coming to you with a special bonus episode. So that's not going to take the place of our regular episode, that's still coming out, but we recently held an event in Los Angeles with some interesting interviews conducted with the heads of various kind of media and tech companies about the future of storytelling. What is in store as we enter this kind of digital streaming era? Have we reached peak content? What's the best way to make money during this time? All these important topics were kind of front and center as we talked to all these folks. And so for the next 3 weeks, we will have kind of supplementary episodes with the audio from these interviews that Jessica Lesson conducted the three different panels. First off, I've got Jared Grootz, the Chief Strategy Officer at Snap, who talked about Discover, the company's professional content section, where that's been going. Also, its international expansion. Jared is additionally responsible for its international strategy. And competition with things like Quibi, which is really coming directly at Snap's sort of short form content area. So it's a good conversation, and excited to get to it. Before we do, like I mentioned this, but this event that we had in Los Angeles was co-sponsored with Airtable. And Airtable, as you may or may not know, is a flexible all-in-one collaboration platform that's empowering the fast-moving digital storytellers that we're talking about in this. If you are managing an editorial calendar, designing, a video game, producing a feature film, hey, even recording a podcast, Airtable lets you create applications for everything that you do. That is why creative teams at companies like The Information use Airtable. We use Airtable for our future list to keep track of all the VC firms and the data that we are tracking. Eagle-eyed readers of The Information may remember that Airtable had a quick cameo in a story last week by Zoe Bernard about dating in Silicon Valley. The opportunities and applications for Airtable truly are endless. And if you go to airtable.com/theinformation today, you could get $200 in free credits. That's an Airtable deal. All right, let's get on over to our interview with Jared Grootz.
Jared is the Chief Strategy Officer at Snap, a year and a week in, perhaps. Prior to that, and when our paths crossed multiple times, Jared was very senior on the early business team at Google, played senior leadership roles at AOL, Spotify, Verizon, where you ran Yahoo Media, which included the Huffington Post. So a lot of hands-on experience in all things digital publishing, which we want to get into because I think that's part of the model that's changing. And then came on board at Snap. So did I skip anything in the pantheon of media?
Father of three kids.
Father of three kids, SoulCycle board member, which is slightly intimidating. I won't tell you about my Peloton habit, but okay, so a lot to cover and ground with Snap. I mean, it just seems like such an interesting time where all of a sudden we do have a lot of competition and activity kind of in social, and I think raising some opportunities as well as some questions for some of the pioneers. Let's start for a second with Discover. Many people in this room are Discover partners.
I'm getting
using
incoming,
the platform.
I just want to make sure that.
Oh, God. We'll call him about that later. We're going to have to say. Where is Discover today? And what's your sort of vision for what content you want on there, what the mix should be?
So thank you for having me. And it's a great question. It's also a humbling question with Nick Bell in the room, who actually created the Discover platform for Snap. So if I get it right, thank you, Nick. And if I get it wrong, I'll take responsibility. I think to understand the future of storytelling at Snapchat, it's important to contextualize what Snapchat is as a platform. And Snapchat is a place for friends to hang out with one another. And I think we do a great job of creating a core product value that allows people to come onto our platform to interact. And they communicate, and we create a lot of exciting tools through augmented reality and other fun ways for visual communication amongst friends to just spend time in our network. And that place is really authentic to our consumer base. And if you put this in context, that's 210 million people showing up on a daily basis to hang out. They open the app approximately 30 times each day. And they're deeply engaged in that experience. And I think Discover plays an important role within the context of our ecosystem. And in that regard, it's actually quite different from...
Do you have data? Like, if Discover vanished, what would the impact on the Snap business be?
Well, I think it's a really important part of the overall equation. And what it does do is it provides a lot of engagement for people who are there as part of our ecosystem. But why it's different from many of the other content platforms is that these content platforms, the hook into the platform is the content itself. Netflix is an amazing product. What Disney's doing is really exciting. And their idea is, I want to track you into my platform because I have procured or created really exciting premium content, and that's why I'm going to the platform. Snapchat's different. Because people are there to hang out, Discover plays a role in doing that, but capturing very different content needs and experiences. I'm really interested in knowing what my friends are doing right now. I'm really interested in figuring out what timely topical things are happening around me right now. I'm bored. Can you entertain me? I've got intentionality. I'm seeking premium, high-quality content. Do you have that? And is that something that I want to come back to over and over? And I want to engage with content that I can talk and share with my friends. And these are content needs that consumers have, but these needs are different than what I think a lot of other platforms are doing. And I think we try and service each of these needs. In the process of doing that, I think it has allowed us to provide a unique value proposition to the overall ecosystem. So on one end of the spectrum, we have like great content partners like NBC, where we've co-created a show.
A major investor too.
In Dead Girls, and we're about to launch the fourth season of this. It's high quality, original, mobile first content. We've built an audience of 20 million people who show up to this. Those people who'd watched the second season, 80% of them ended up watching the third season, and we expect that to continue the fourth season. So by building sort of an ecosystem where people want to hang out, what we've been able to do is also build a original content platform that's servicing many different needs, but not just the single need of, I've got intentionality of finding the content that I want
to
find.
So not just people who are looking to sit back and be entertained. But, I mean, isn't it blurring, right? Like, I think I was recently watching a long-form sort of movie on my phone in 20-minute increments because that was the time I had in my Uber. Sorry, Quibi. I wonder if you can dig into, like, what are you seeing about consumer behavior that sort of really crystallizes that communication use case versus that sort of entertainment use case?
In our case, I think these things work quite seamlessly. Because it is the case that people want to hang out with their friends. And by hang out with their friends, it began primarily as communications. And by communications, expanding traditional text-based communications to becoming visual communications. I think that has led us to invest like quite heavily in augmented reality technologies to make communications fun. It's also, though, in recent times allowed us to build completely different platforms. For example, we launched a gaming platform earlier this year. And the way in which we launched the gaming platform was not like, hey, let's go create another gaming platform in the world, but can we create a gaming platform that allows friends to play games together? That is the ethos of what gaming is on Snapchat. It is also, to some extent, the ethos of what's driving how we think about content on our platform. And so I think that being part of our overall platform, being part of our ecosystem, and how all these things tie together is, I think, what makes content special on our platform compared to other platforms who are only leading with content. It's, I think, a different value proposition.
How do you balance what kind of budget to put against the content when you're getting user-generated content is part of the mix. I mean, how do you approach, we have a lot of people in this room who tech companies who think about that very question. What's the Snap formula for how much to pay?
I think the answer is it's not a one-size-fits-all solution, in part because I think those people who are in the business of creating content, producing content, have very different needs and very different goals. And I think we are past the point where any one platform can service all of the needs of any one content producer. And so what role Snapchat specifically plays in sort of the overall either consumer model or business model of these companies may be different. it may be the case that I'm trying to access a very specific and big audience. Snapchat reaches 90% of all 13 to 24-year-olds in the United States. So if I want to target that demographic, it can't really replicate that anywhere else in the world, including on much bigger aggregate number of platforms, such as Facebook. So accessing different audiences may be a very big goal. Experimenting with, I don't know what happened. Thank you. Thank you. Experiment, can you hear me still? Yep. Oh, whoa. Experimenting with other content format types, mobile-first content experiences also may be a goal of content creators. And so I think that's another thing that can take place on our platform. And then...
When you see Facebook pay news organizations as much as $3 million a year, what goes through the Snap brain when you see something like that?
Nothing. I mean...
Nothing as in you'd never do it, or...?
I think what Facebook is trying to do is, like, whatever their strategy is. I don't think we ever really think about ourselves in reference to how other platforms think about their core product value. I think... Snapchat has always been a highly innovative company, and I think the way we make every decision in the company, whether it's with respect to content strategy decisions, product strategy decisions, design decisions, and even business model decisions, has always been thinking very, very carefully about what our core values are, and also how do we want to connect with our consumer base and move forward in that regard. For us, I think it is very important for us to have strong relationships with news providers. I do think there is consumer demand for really interesting and exciting ways to think about news. And we have a lot of excellent partnerships with many different news organizations, and I think we'll continue to do those. Like whether the sort
what
of
are some of the ones that stand out?
Oh,
sorry. We should probably put it on because we're recording, so. Sorry.
It's all right. There's like sticky tape here, which is. Oh, thank you.
You're double mic'd now. Twice the Jared.
It's a joke that I was thinking in my own brain. So I'll give you an example. If you take ESPN, ESPN has as their flagship program SportsCenter. SportsCenter is an extraordinary show. It has a great audience within most of its distribution channels. This past year, ESPN won an Emmy Award, and it won an Emmy Award not for ESPN as a core product. It won it for the way in which it has created a Snap-first show that is very specific to the way in which our community likes to consume content. It's consistent with the formats that we've created, and they deliver their sort of gist of the SportsCenter experience in a very unique way to our audience, and it works. So. I think that
And are they happy with, well, how much money are they making off that?
I don't know the specific number off the top of my head. You can ask them. Yeah. But I think it's a very successful partnership, and it's mutually beneficial.
Awesome. A lot of different grounds to go. Let's talk a little bit about the competitive landscape.
Sure.
So we've seen TikTok. Well, let's start there. What do you think of TikTok?
TikTok have surprisingly been great partners to us.
We're spending a lot of money for...
We have a strong advertising relationship that goes both ways. We have a product initiative at Snap called SnapKit, where we have a content relationship with TikTok, where content flows from TikTok onto Snapchat, and that works very well for both companies. So. Both companies have been helping each other grow, and on the one hand, I think they are a fun company, and they provide, you know, like an exciting service for their consumers. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're sort of here to stay? Obviously, there, you know, challenges when it comes to the Chinese ownership, and always a lot of, you know, some ongoing investigations. Do you think they're going to be a major player in the U.S. 3 years from now?
It appears to be the case.
Quibi, let's go there too. I mean, I guess no one's seen it, so. But what do you make of that, you know, mobile first, premium, I guess, subscription and advertising, unclear, vision?
I'm excited to see what they launch and how they go about doing it, and whether they like tap into a consumer need. And like everyone, I'm like interested to see. I don't really know much about what their specific plans are. I will say though, and this is consistent with what I was talking about earlier. From our perspective, the idea of mobile-first storytelling has always been part of the core of the content experiences on Snapchat. So 100% believe that there are great opportunities and experiences, both from a product perspective as well as a content experience, to deliver mobile-first stories. And I think that's something we believe in very much at Snapchat.
What do you think of this concept that we're kind of at peak content? I mean, and I guess you can look at that from a user-generated point of view, from a just the amount of funding going into the space. What does that mean for Snap?
We're really excited about the future potential of content consumption on our platform. What we have seen over the past year since I've been at the company is the number of content partners who are excited and interested in joining our platform has more or less doubled over the course of the year. We've seen that number even increase outside of the United States in many parts around the world.
Are these where there's a business relationship, or they're just?
Both. So like the talent influencers, professional content companies, all of the above are participating in our ecosystem, and that's growing at an extraordinary way. Coupled with that is also consumption of content on our platform, which has also been growing in a very considerable manner over the course of the year. So I think what we're seeing is that we're not at peak content consumption, that there's continual opportunities to improve the content experiences, to improve the product experiences, to improve the relationship between those experiences in order to deliver more value to consumers in the ecosystem.
Does the growth in subscription content pose a challenge for Snap? I mean, are we creating these sort of walled gardens of content?
I think the way I think about it is that's a very different value proposition than the one that we are going after, or the ones that we think about. So I don't believe so.
Part of your purview is international. Tell us about where the focus is there and what's happening outside the U.S.
So the core product value of real friends having a place to hang out in the digital world, I think, resonates across the world. In part because there's so much pressure, both offline and online, to impress people. And I think one thing that we have always realized and continue to realize with our growing user base is that having a safe place to be yourself really matters. And that core product value really resonates around the world. And so we're...
around the world, I assume it's Facebook, right? That's the main competition.
I think depends on where you are in the world. There's other platforms that are also providing value to consumers. And so I don't really think of like a competitive set in any traditional way, in part because I think our value proposition is so unique. One example of something that I'm particularly excited about is we launched our first office in India this past summer, and we have seen extraordinary growth in terms of the overall user base and engagement of India. And so that's an example of one of the international expansion opportunities that we're really excited about.
Well, I mean, I remember for years, right, Snap differed from Facebook and others in focusing very much on the U.S. because users here were way more monetizable than, it's a horrible word, but it was easier to make money off users here. So what's changed in the thinking in terms of going after emerging markets?
Nothing really. I think what we are really excited about is the opportunity to provide value to consumers around the world and do that in like thoughtful, responsible ways. And I think underlying the core philosophy of how we grow is to grow organically and naturally. And I think that continues to be like a core ethos for how we think about international growth.
So are you making money off those users in India?
We have like a growing advertising business there.
I know you don't like to think a lot about competitors, but Instagram is a big one. Seem to be executing well, growing a lot. we'll hear from Charles shortly. But don't say we don't think about them, but what, when you look at the trajectory that they've been on, you know, what's your reaction and maybe how does that differ from what you're focused on?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm obviously aware of Instagram and I like, it's not to say like I've never thought about Instagram, but I will say that I really believe like the product values of these two products are quite different. And I think the need that they're providing in the lives of their respective consumer bases are quite different.
Hone that a little bit for me more.
I think from a Snapchat perspective, the core product value by far is around communications and hanging out with your friends. In this regard, like the most important group of people within Snapchat are like your true closest friends. Mm-hmm. If you know who they are in the real world and you hang out with them, and you go to dinner with them and they're part of your lives, they're really valuable to you on Snapchat. And a lot of the product development, a lot of the design decisions, a lot of the content experiences we build are around ways to enrich the experiences with those people who are closest to you in the world. And I will let Instagram talk about how they think about its consumer base, mm-hmm. but I can say from a Snapchat perspective, that is like front and center for how we think about that. It's less of a broadcast platform, much more of an intimate kind of platform.
Do you have data on the overlap you suspect between the Instagram and Snap audience?
I'm sure that data exists. The data that I'm really excited about is the fact that we've been growing our user base in a very significant way and in core demographics that of those users who we think our products should be good for are using it. Like, mm-hmm. as I mentioned, the 13 to 24-year-old cohort in the United States is a great example of that.
And what picked that back up? Right? I mean, there had been some sort of slowdown, some stagnation, some maybe related to a redesign that wasn't so popular, but what really happened to get growth going again?
I think there's been a lot of really extraordinary work by multiple teams across Snapchat to ensure that the product resonates with consumers around the world. I think one thing that I'm particularly proud of the team, and this work preceded me, but on the engineering side, really making sure the Android product itself performed in the same way that the iOS product did. All those engineering efforts, I think, are paying off in some of those metrics.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask a couple more, and then we're going to open it up. You've worked at temp companies. You work at a tech company now. What do you make of the tech clash broadly? And by that, I mean, both what we're seeing from D.C. in terms of regulation and general unease from consumers. Does it affect Snap in any way?
One of the most exciting things about working at Snap, and I think this flows from the founders down throughout the organization, is that there's a lot of human values that I think the world is increasingly caring about that have been built into the DNA of the company from day one. This concept of like privacy by design has been built in our products from day one. In fact, as you know, the company was formed on ephemeral messaging and the idea of being responsible stewards of data and being responsible stewards of information has been really built into the core ethos of really how every product at the company gets built. And so I think it's great that there's increasing awareness of what the issues are. And I think it's a responsibility of companies to aspire to do the right things and then execute on that.
Do you see things coming down the pike that could, limit your ability to target ads, other stuff like that?
Not in the immediate future. I think that's something we keep an eye on. We, continue to work with all the appropriate groups in the industry and in the government to figure that out.
I want to ask, briefly, have you used Threads?
I have not.
Okay. Does everyone know what that is? Charles is looking at me. Okay. Two people who work at Facebook went like this. So, this is the new Facebook Snap clone. You guys can retort on that later. But anyway, just curious. Lastly, AR, you mentioned it briefly. I remember years ago getting a nasty email, or someone else on the team got a nasty email from a senior person at Snap who said we had not included them in a list of the largest AR companies. So I know the pride in that runs deep. Our team had a big story last week about Apple's roadmap for two different AR products pushed way back into 2022, 2023. So, I mean, you guys have spectacles. How's that doing? And where is AR right now? You know, should we build it, be building an AR version of the information?
It's certainly...
At least they know, because I don't have the bandwidth right now. But
I think if you take a step back, Snapchat was built as a communications platform. And one of the most exciting features has been about enriching the emotions that all of us have in real life through technology. I think what we've been able to do is capture those human emotions in really exciting ways through AR, specifically with respect to lenses. And they're fun, they're whimsical, they're humorous, and they just elicit emotions that are human. And they work, and because people love them. And so from a technological perspective, I think we've made like really, really exciting investments in just ensuring that we are state of the art on the technological side, on the
experience. Are you talking about with the hardware or with lenses?
I'm actually talking about even from like the coding perspective, from like a computer vision perspective and otherwise. And so I think AR plays an important role in communications. And so then if that's the case, which we believe it is to be the case, what are the different ways in which we can apply those products and those learnings into other form factors? And I think spectacles is an exciting example of that.
So what version spectacles are we
three.
On? Three, okay. Is there gonna be a four?
The three is just coming out.
Okay, so maybe. do we have any questions for Jared about the world of Snap? Tom, I gotta let him get one in.
What territories do you think are gonna be big for Snap, and which ones do you think are gonna be the biggest challenges?
We haven't talked too much publicly about all of the different future places that we intend to launch the application. And so I'm not going to here. I will say that what we are seeing is organic traction in the product in many places around the world. And so the way we think about it from a principled perspective is to understand which places in the world have consumers who engage with the product in the way that we intend it to be, which is as a communication platform for friends to hang out. And when we see that kind of behavior, we get really excited to make those investments in. And currently, as I mentioned, one place where we're excited about is India.
Next question, and we'll bring the mic to you, so be sure to... I will keep going, but Jolie, okay.
The mic makes it very official. Different way. One of the big changes that Snapchat undertook this year was really expanding its original content slate, I think in a way that really paid off for you guys in bringing lots of different users back to the platform, not just young people. Can you talk about that a little bit and about what the investment in original content will continue to be like for Snap?
Yeah, sure. So I think there's two broad themes in what you ask, which we're very excited about. The first is localizing content around the world, because we do have the belief that the more culturally relevant your content is in any given geography or with any different group in the world, it's very important to have content that resonates. And over the past year, we have more than doubled our investment in content outside of the United States, and we're seeing the engagement.
Is that by budget or by?
It's by everything, by budget, by the number of content partners we bought, and the number of content partners we bought onto the platform. And also related to that, which is the second part of your question, is how do we think about originals? And we're very excited about Snap Originals as being an integral part of our overall content strategy, in part because they work and because they're fun. And increasingly, what we are finding is consumers within the Snapchat community, when they come to Discover platform to see what their friends are up to or to find out what's happening in the world or to be entertained by a partner, are also loving the exclusive original content. So we're gonna continue to make deep investments in that space moving forward.
But not to the extent there's this arms race going on, right, around paying up for content. And do you see Snap getting into that in a bigger way?
In a way that adds value to those people creating content for our ecosystem, yes, and also to the Snap community, absolutely yes. But as I mentioned, I don't believe that Snapchat as a platform is the same kind of platform as like what Apple's trying to build or what Netflix is built. So in that sense, I don't believe us to be competitive at all.
I don't know how much Quibi's raised, but $1 billion, you know. You don't see yourself getting in that game of...
I'm not sure what their strategy is or their plan is, but for us, content plays like an extremely important role within the context of the platform that we're building. And I think that is a core difference in the way we think about storytelling versus just relying on only content to carry the whole weight of the platform.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, do we have any last questions for Jared? And switch the mic over.
You said earlier that 90% of 13 to 24-year-olds in the States are on Snap. So how about like 18 to 24-year-olds? And then just thinking about like the election coming up. So I know there's been commentary around combating kind of fake political ads. But then if you could maybe just talk about that and then fake news and for the 18 to 24-year-old voter demographic and getting people actually out to vote, like how much do you see Snap playing a role in that process in the year ahead?
It's a great question. I don't think we've broken up our data in the exact way you asked the question, so I don't know the specific answer. But I think your broader question is like, what role could Snapchat play with respect to the news cycle? One really exciting piece about Snapchat compared to other platforms is that our ecosystem is closed and subject to a lot of editorial control. So the idea that anyone can just publish news content into our platform in the way that exists in other platforms just simply doesn't exist. And as a result of it, there's much tighter controls over the kind of information that flows through our platform and specifically in the Discover platform. In that regard, I believe we have much tighter controls over that kind of information. I do think there's an opportunity to play a role in sort of informing this portion of the population as they think about the political cycle in this country and in other countries.
Awesome. Okay, we'll do one more and then we'll move on there. Or we'll do two more.
Circling back to the Snap Originals for a minute, I was wondering if you have any plans to repurpose or exploit the IP, and if so, what that vision looks like, both on and off the Snapchat platform.
There's no real change to our strategy right now. I think, as I mentioned, the way we think about this is how do we make sure that Snapchat provides like the most vibrant community to those people use it and to try and attract more people into the community. So almost all of our thinking as a company is designed towards that specific goal and not beyond that.
The user alignment, the alignment, however you want to call your group that of community on Snapchat.
The calculus is a hybrid of using data to understand what content works within our platform and also having people within our editorial expertise within our organization have a sense of the kinds of stuff that we ought to go out and procure and having a formula to bring those two things together to go procure originals on the platform. So it's editorial plus data.
Okay. And then one very quick right there.
Hi, Sarah Weichel, head of platforms at Anonymous Content and also manager to Lily Singh and Huda Katan and a couple others. I've been approached by two different teams at Snap in the last couple of weeks, one the Creator Shows team and one the Originals team. And I guess I'm trying to understand how best to help my content publishers understand what programming strategy works for what team at Snap. Obviously, I understand that there are different economic models. One's an ad rev share and one's more or less, I think, a just general buyout or finance model of an original piece of IP, but how do they coexist? And honestly, what is more financially meaningful to my client?
I think we should speak afterwards and let me understand like what your goals are. It's also interesting because those are part of the same team. So I have to learn a little bit more about your specific situation.
Fair enough. Okay, we'll make it happen. Jared, thank you so much for joining us.
I really enjoyed it.
Really appreciate it.